Anyway, I'm one that I guess I like to lay the axe to the root of a tree, and I'm not one that likes to trim the branches. I like to address some of the issues that are the roots. And this last message here is probably outside of a salvation message. If you could hear this. And not only hear it, but understand it. You know, that good seed or that good ground where the seed fell, it heard the word and it understood. And it understood in such a way as a light went off in the heart. And that's what happened to me with regards to salvation. I knew many things. I knew who Jesus was. I knew he died on the cross. I knew a lot of things. But when I was 19 years old, a light bulb went off, and I understood specifically that redemption was for me personally, and I embraced it. Well, if something, I'm hoping and praying that a light bulb will go off in your hearts here tonight, and regarding what I'm going to share with you, it's kind of a deeper subject. I'll slow things down a little bit. This evening, maybe you think I've been slow all week, but I'm going to slow it down a little bit more. I want to do a little bit more of a teaching type of an evening tonight. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter number 3. And if you're a Christian here, if any truth could dramatically change your life in a night, this truth here is the one that would do it. If you would embrace this tonight and truly let this settle upon your hearts and take a week to meditate upon it, pray about it, consider it, you'll be a different person, and maybe a dramatically a different person. So let's start here. I want to read in chapter 3, and some of these verses, maybe you have them memorized. I find that people memorize verses and don't oftentimes know what the meaning of them are. And here is a good example. In chapter 3, verse 1 of Colossians, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." Now, I want to focus on verse 3 and verse 4. There's three statements there that people read these verses and they don't really grasp what these verses are teaching. And I think if you'll understand and grasp them, your life can be dramatically changed. And I trust by the end of the sermon here, you'll understand why. Verse 3 says, "For you are dead." For you are dead. It doesn't say you're trying to be dead or you're trying to die to self. The scripture says you are dead. You are dead. If you're a child of God here this evening, God, and by the way, this is God's perspective. This is as the Lord looks down upon us, he sees us as being dead. And the next statement, "and your life is hid with Christ in God." What does that mean? That my life is hid with Christ in God. And thirdly, "when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." What does that mean? When Christ appears, I shall appear with him in glory. There's a lot of depth here. There's a lot of meat here in this passage, and we're probably not going to get down too deep, but I would like to address those three statements. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, and thirdly, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, this is God's perspective of us. When God looks down upon us here tonight, you, from his perspective, are dead. You are dead. Now, that doesn't mean you're spiritually dead. That doesn't mean you're physically dead. That doesn't mean the church is dead, per se. But as the Lord looks down upon you, he says that you are dead. He also says your life is hid up here with me in Christ. Your life is hid with Christ. And he also tells us that when my son Jesus, who is our life, will come back, when he'll appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for each one of us here this evening? Now, I'm going to use me as an example. July 15th, 1978. I didn't realize it at the time, but I died. I died.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen. I died. And when the Lord looked down, he said, you know, Jerry, you just received me as your Lord and Savior. You put your faith in me. Jerry, you died. And by the way, that's why baptism is so important, to be right at that moment. If you look in the Bible, people are baptized the same day. And even in the middle of the night, the Philippian jailer went out and was baptized in that night, because baptism is so essentially tied to the salvation experience. Because in baptism, you are basically saying, buried with him in death and raised with him in his resurrection. And the Lord wants us to know that you are dead. You are dead. And that's a basic thing. Most Christians don't understand that from God's perspective, July 15th, 1978, I died. And look with me here to Romans chapter 6. I want to look at a number of verses tonight. Romans chapter 6. I died in God's eyes. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse number 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Verse 3 says that I died with him. I was in Christ. As a matter of fact, if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God places you in his Son. And when his Son died on the cross, I died, from God's perspective, with him. I went down into that grave with him, and I was raised up with him. And the Bible says, even now I am seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I died with him. That's why Paul says that I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. I was buried with him. Now, someone says, I've been to Israel and I went to the tomb there where Jesus supposedly was buried. And they asked me, have you ever been to Israel? Have you ever been to the tomb? And I said, oh yeah, I was there about 2,000 years ago. I was buried with him. I was buried with him. I was in Christ when he was buried. Positionally speaking, from God's perspective, I was in him. The Bible says here we are buried with him in the likeness of his death. We're also raised with him. Ephesians chapter 2 says, I was raised up with him, and I am seated with him at the right hand of God. And so when you and I are born again, we are placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Now, I don't have a board up here, but maybe you could use your imagination instead of writing it out on a board. July 15th, 1978, and you can put your salvation date in here. I died. I died July 15th, 1978. Put your date in there, the day you were converted. My life then went up to heaven, and it's hid with Christ in God. And when the Lord Jesus returns at the end of this world, I will return with him, and my life will be, it says there, my life will be with him in glory. And so I died, my life went, and it was hid with him, and then that life will return with him in glory. Now, there's an empty space here where my life is up there. You know, right now, I'm here with you, and I'm breathing, and I'm preaching to you, but my life is up there. It is hid with him. You say, what does that mean? Why is your life up there, but yet you're still here? Let me share with you something that's very important, and I hope you can understand this. That when I was converted on July 15, 1978, God expected me to understand that I died and that my life went and was hid with him in Christ. And now my body is here, as the Bible says in Romans 12, to present your bodies a living sacrifice so that he thou can come from heaven, the Spirit of God can come and live his life in me. So something beautiful here happens at conversion. My life goes and is hid with Christ in God in heaven, and he comes and he lives his life in me here on the earth. So there is a transaction. I died. My life is hid with him in heaven, and the Lord says, now I'm going to come down and live in your body and live my life through your body. Amen. And that's why we're encouraged to yield ourselves unto him. And so he is here in every born-again believer, and his desire is to live his life through your body, through your yielded body. Now let's look at this thing in a little bit more detail. The Bible says here, I was crucified with Christ. Think about this for a minute. You're on the cross with Jesus. God has you placed in him. He saw ahead of time, 2,000 years ahead, you'd receive him and you'd be born of the Spirit of God. And so he placed you in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're up there on the cross. And guess what happens when Jesus Christ, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who's in him? We are, right? And so who was forsaken? In a sense, you and I were forsaken with him. Who suffered? We suffered with him. We suffered as those who are in Christ. We suffered with him. We were forsaken with him. We died with him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, I'm in Christ when he died. I died with him. Someone says, do you fear the wages of sin? No, I've already paid them. I was in Christ when he died, when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I was in him, and because I was in him, I have already, through Christ, made atonement for sin. And God the Father placed me in him. So we all, if we have faith in Jesus, we've already paid the wages of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beautiful things happen when you die, brothers and sisters. Just to let you know, some beautiful things happens when you die. You know what happens when you die in this world? You get free from the law. You're free from the law. Donald Trump there, you probably heard this. He was standing up in front of a group of people and was giving a speech, just turned his head a little bit this way, and a bullet whizzed by and caught his ear. Had he have been hit with that bullet and died, all the law, all the people who are after him to try to prosecute him, all these cases would have been null and void because he's dead. The law does not reach down and touch those who are dead. That's why people who maybe go out and murder someone, take the gun and put it to their head, they can't be touched by the law anymore because they're dead. The Bible says you that are dead are freed from the law. You're free from the law, and that's a very good place to be. Amen. You're free from the law. You know, they got the man in the casket. The policeman comes up to him. He might have done something that violated the law, but all the cases against him, because he's dead, He no longer faces trial or persecution. Let's look, we're in the book of Romans there. Let's look at Romans chapter 7, verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. That's all the law can do, as long as you're living. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. This idea of living. But if the husband is dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. The fact that you're in Christ and that Christ died for sin, you being in him, placed yourself, or God placed you, dead to the law, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that you should bring forth fruit unto God. And it's a beautiful thing to be free from the law. Now, I know a lot of people, it's kind of a dangerous subject here, because even in the Bible, you know, Paul talks about being free from the law and not being under the law, but under grace. And he goes on to say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? For not under the law shall we continue in sin that grace may abound. And he cautions those, don't take this attitude that because I'm now free from the law, I have no obligation to obedience. Look at Romans chapter 4. We'll stay here in the book of Romans here. Here's some beautiful verses. I love these verses here. Romans chapter 4, verse 6 says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's a good thing, brother. The Bible says in the book of Romans that where there is no law, there is no transgression. There's no transgression. One reason why I'd encourage you to come to Jesus and to have faith in him is because God will take you out from underneath the law and put you underneath grace. And when you're underneath grace, sin is not imputed to your account. That's a beautiful thing. And we ought to rejoice in that. It's a beautiful thing to have faith in Jesus. All that we get. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Another thing that happens if you die is that sin no longer has dominion over you. Amen. You know, it happens all the time. You go to a funeral and you walk by the casket. There's maybe a man in the casket, and as you look at him, and you know you're mourning over him, this dead man, and you start walking away, and that dead man reaches out of the casket, grabs your wallet out of your back pocket, and slips it into the casket real quick. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Or you're walking by the casket, and you know that man just kind of rises up a little bit and curses you to your face. No, you see, dead men don't sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. Amen. The principle of sin is broken in each one of us. We no longer have to be a servant to sin. Look at Romans chapter 6 here, verse number 11. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Not only reckon yourself to be dead to the law, but reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So there's a lot of good things that happened when you died over here. When you came to Jesus, you died. The Lord took you out from underneath the law. The Lord set you free from the bondage of being a slave to sin. Dead people. Something else dead people. One good thing about being a dead person is, and all of us are going to be a dead person one of these days, but one of the good things about being a dead person is you're not afraid of anything. You know that? Dead people don't fear anything. That's why, you know, in the army, if you're sick and you're about ready to die, they send you to the front lines because you're just as courageous as anything. Because, hey, I'm going to die anyway, so I'll do exploits. Right? Dead people have no fear. When I was a couple of months ago, maybe a bit more than a couple of months, probably 4 or 5 months ago, I was asked to go to Mozambique. I was studying this a number of months ago and just considering it. And I read the Voice of the Martyrs magazine and talks about this place I was going in Mozambique was called the Lion's Den. Northern Mozambique, I was supposed to go to the northern tip there, and there's a war going on there, some uprising. The Muslim ISIS-type people are fighting the government there. And I was reading in the Voice of the Martyrs. It's very comforting, you know. You're heading there, and you're going to be preaching for 5 or 6, 7 days, and they're telling it's not a very good place to go because there's a 125-mile strip of area there where you have to have a military transport take you up to the north part of Mozambique. And there's a family up there that's serving the Lord. And so I got there, and they have one trip north each day and one trip south through this 125 miles in northern Mozambique. And they got military vehicles on the front and the back of these convoys, about 40 or 50 cars and trucks heading north, and the 40 to 50 of them are heading south. But if you want to go north, you go one time during the day. If you're going to get north, you're going to come south, you're going to go one time. And so, you know, I'm reading this and I'm thinking all of these things about, boy, this isn't going to be a very pleasant experience, kind of safe. And then I'm just, again, reminding myself, and by this is reality here, I'm reminding myself that, you know, Jerry, you already are dead. You don't have to fear dying. You're already dead. God says you are dead. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why the early church, they understood these things and they were so productive and they turned the world upside down, is because danger didn't bother them, because they truly believe when the Bible says that you are dead, they believe they are dead. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I die daily. Every day I get up, I acknowledge I'm dead. And I live a life of abandonment to God. Bible says that we need to reckon ourselves dead. Dead. You know, one of the great hindrances to Christianity is, let's just go back in my life on July 15th, and I was buried with him, and I died from God's perspective. And then I get up out of that baptismal tank, and I don't even know that I'm dead, and I keep living my life. And I say, well, I'm a Christian now, and I continue to live my life, and I don't understand that I am supposed to be dead. And I frustrate the grace of God, and God is trying to do something in my heart. He's trying to lead me in a certain calling, a certain direction, and I can't get there because I am very much in my heart and mind alive. And so, and this didn't happen to me. It took later on in life to come to this realization. But the day I was converted, God said, you're dead now. And you know what? I'm going to take your life, Jerry, and I'm going to bring you up here, and I'm going to hide you with my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I want you to give me your body, because I'm going to send my son, the Lord Jesus, his spirit into your life, and he's going to take control of that body, and you're going to have an incredible experience. Amen. And so my life went to heaven. It's hid with him in Christ. He came down here and he dwells in me. And if I am by faith, by the way, if I will accept this and believe this and say, Lord, I am dead. I am dead, Lord. I believe that with all my heart. You have total control over this life. Amen. D.L. Moody once said, the world is yet to see what one man fully surrendered to God can do in this world. And I would encourage you, young people, you got all kinds of plans. You got your life, the things you want to do, you know, businesses, marriage, and all these plans you have. The truth of the matter is, when you come to Jesus, you ought to lay all that down and say, Lord, I die. I'm dying. I'm dead. And Lord, it's now your life. You take control of it and do with it whatever you will. I didn't get an amen on that one. Well, not only are we crucified with him, we are buried with him. The Bible also says we are raised with him. We are raised with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 says, Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so something beautiful happens, and we need to accept it by faith, that when we come to Christ, we die from God's perspective. And if you'll truly by faith accept that and say, Lord, I am dead. Lord, this body is yours. We're going to get to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. A living sacrifice. My body is alive, but it's sacrificed. It's given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. A living sacrifice. Well, God gives us of his spirit, and we are living. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 here real quick. Romans chapter 12, a very familiar verse. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that's a kind of a contradiction of words there. A living sacrifice, because sacrifices in the Old Testament were killed. They were dead. But here we're asked to be a living sacrifice. Seems rather strange. A living sacrifice. A living dead person. I love that picture. I'm dead. God says, you're dead, Jerry. You're dead. Accept that. Reckon yourselves dead. Your life is over. You're dead. And sacrifice yourself to my spirit, and my spirit will quicken you and make you alive. You know, the Bible talks about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be emptied of yourself. Emptied of yourself. You know, it'd be an exciting thing if we'd wake up in the morning each day and we'd say, Lord, first thing out of bed, Lord, today I'm dead. I'm dead. I reckon myself to be dead. Just like you said, I am dead. And Lord, I have no plans. I have no desires. I have no wants and wishes. Lord, may the Spirit of God just control my life. Control my life. Take control of me and use me for whatever purpose. Whatever purpose, Lord, you want to use me for today, day after day after day, reckon yourself dead. Reckoning your life to have died, and now you're given over to Christ to be raised up by the power of the Holy Ghost. You're the dead one, and he is the living one in you. And using your body for his purposes. Let's go back here to Colossians chapter 3 here for a minute. Colossians chapter 3. By the way, this is an act of faith. It is something that we have to believe. God, you said it. You know, we can believe. The Lord says that the woman should have a covering on her head. We believe that. Well, can we believe here tonight when the Lord says, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And that life is going to appear when he returns. And so, from the point I died to where my life is coming back with the Lord Jesus, there's this empty space where I'm to yield my body to the Spirit of God to use me however he wants. Colossians chapter 3. I died when I was converted. I reckoned my life to be over. My life will appear again at Christ's return in glory. Here's something that's interesting. I'm going to use myself as an example here. I died July 15th, 1978, according to the Lord. The only rewards that I'll receive when the Lord Jesus comes in glory are those things that have been motivated and generated by the Holy Spirit of God. Everything else is dead works. And so if I'm a child of God and I'm still living my life and going in the direction I want to go and doing the things I want to do, they may be many religious things, but in the end, they're all going to be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. The only thing that's going to last is when I reckon myself truly to be dead and the Spirit of God worked in me and produced spiritual fruit, fruit that was motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the Bible says that many will get to heaven and they'll be tried, their works will be tried, and it'll be consumed because they did not yield themselves to the Spirit of God. They lived Christianity in their own strength. A lot of people do that. And so only those things that are generated by the Spirit of God are those that are going to be rewarded. And so this time that it is between the time I died from God's perspective and the time that He is returning, when my life will be manifested, that time is the time that I'm to sacrifice myself to the Holy Spirit, to take my body and to use it as a vessel. You know why the Bible says to lose your life for Jesus' sake in the gospel? Lose it. Lose it. I died. I'm going to lose my life. And I'm going to let the Lord live through me. That's what Paul said. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Even Paul acknowledged, I'm not living my life anymore. I am dead. And he is living his life through me. Boy, what a powerful church it is when you get many men and women who are letting the Lord Jesus live his life through them. And they truly, in faith, reckon themselves to be dead. Paul said, Christ is my life. He is my life. Many of you, your life is your life. It's still your life. You're still living your life. You have your plans. You have your wants. You have your desires. Paul said, no, not with me. I died back then on the road to Damascus. When I got baptized, I really died. And the rest of my life is all him. I like that. It's all him. I don't know where you're at as you sit here today, whether or not, well, I'm just living my life and throwing a little Christianity in, going to church and doing my thing, but I never really thought about the fact that I'm actually dead. And I should be laying all this stuff down and sacrificing these things and allowing the Lord Jesus to live in me. Now, I think the Lord, if you're a child of God, I think the Lord is in you. There are people here that the Spirit of God is in them. But how many of us are quenching the Spirit and grieving the Spirit who wants to live out His life through you, through your body, and yet you're frustrating Him, frustrating the grace of God? You know, maybe you're in a bad marriage, and Lord, it's okay. You know why? Because I'm dead. I'm dead. And Lord, you take it. You take it. I don't have to deal with it. You take it. You take my life. Lord, you're calling me to some place that's very difficult, very fearful. But Lord, you know what? I believe I'm dead. I'm already dead. You said I'm dead. I reckon it's so. And Lord, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear. I'm already dead. Amen. You know, it affects every area of our life. Lose your life for Jesus' sake in the gospel. Whoever will save his life will lose it. We know that. You know, I could have been July 15th, and in many ways I have. July 15th, Jerry, God said to me, you're dead now. See, baptism, it shows you died. Now live and give your life to me. And I could have got up and said, Lord, I still want to do my thing. I still want to get married. I still want to have a family. And those are the good things if God allows you and God directs you. And I could have frustrated. And I have frustrated the grace of God. I'm not saying I have lived that out perfectly. So Jesus died for us. And we are in Him. We are in Him, it says, up there. Our life is hid with Him at God's right hand. And we reckon ourselves to have died and now allow Him to come and live through us. That's an amazing thought to me. Vacate your body. Vacate your body. I want to come and live in it. Give me your life. And boy, you'll live an incredibly wonderful and challenging and glorious life if you let Him have control of it. Amen. Paul said, Christ, who is my life? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I am living. You see my body. You see me up here. And yes, I'm living, but it's not me that's living. Christ is living in me. My life is hid with Him in glory. I'm up there. But He is living His life through me. Do you understand what He's saying there? Are you allowing the Lord Jesus to live in you, in your body? Is your body surrendered to Him a living sacrifice? Reckon yourself dead and yield yourself to God and see what happens. You say, I'm so shy. Listen to this. You know, I'm so shy. Well, I got news for you. That shy person died over here. They're dead. You buried them. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Old things are what? Passed away. You say, I am not this type of person. Oh, yes, you died and all that is gone. Now, if you'll be raised and to yield yourself to Him, you'll be a new creation. A new creation. Here, how about this one? Lord, I have, and I think of the Apostle Paul here, Lord, I have an awful past. I mean, I have tragedy in my past. And I come to Jesus and I die. What happens to that past when I die? It's gone. Amen. It's gone. And so the Lord raises you up and says, now you're a new creation. Now give me your body. Forget the past. It's in the past. It's gone and dead. Now you can go forward. I think of the Apostle Paul. I mean, he had a past that was, it would be horrible to carry that past along with him. He was murdering people. He was causing God's people to blaspheme. You listen to his testimony there. Some of the things he did. Maybe caused people to be turned away from the faith. Made them blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus. Was standing there when Stephen was stoned. But you don't hear Paul going through the mully grubs. You know, my past, my history, it's really weighing me down. You know, because I believe Paul really believed that when he came to Christ, all that went down with that dead man. And it was buried, and it's gone. He says, now I'm just going to live for Him. And He's going to take control of my life, and that's what He did. He lived His life under the control of the Spirit of God, and all that was past. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. So just think about this. Here is God in heaven. He sent His Son to die. He said, anyone who puts faith in my Son, believes on the Lord Jesus, I'll put that person in my Son, figuratively speaking. And I'm going to, when I put you in there, you're going to be crucified with Him. You're going to die with Him. You're going to be buried with Him. And you're going to be raised up with Him. And I'm going to keep you up here and hide you in Him. Until the return of Christ. And even though I say you're up there, your body is still down here. And so what I want you to do is to allow my Son now to come down and live in that body which I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and allow Him to take over that body and allow Him to walk in your body and to fulfill my will. Ah, yes, the Bible talks what we talk about out there. Christ is everything. He is all in all. He is wisdom, righteousness, power. He is everything I need. But think about this now. It says, when Christ shall appear. Okay, there's coming a day when He's coming back. When Christ shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. Now listen. Listen, life is going to begin for you and me when He comes back and our life appears with Him in glory. That's when life is going to begin. You know what's going to happen then? We're going to get a new body, a glorified body. We're going to enter into the kingdom of God. We're going to rule and reign with Him, and life will begin when Jesus Christ returns. So, you and I were up there with Him. As you yield yourself to Christ here and surrender yourself to His will and purposes and His Spirit, you're rewarded. That's why the Bible says, you know, He's coming with a reward. And God will reward us and give us a place in His kingdom. And when He comes, life will begin for you. By the way, that takes a step of faith. Amen. Okay, Lord, I believe Your word. Boy, this is a real step of faith. I believe Your word, and when I got baptized and I believed on the Lord Jesus, I died. Lord, I'm done. It's over. My life is over. From here on out, it's Yours. And Lord, use this body, use this mind, use this heart, however You want to use it, as a living sacrifice. And someday, Lord, when You come back, as much as I've yielded myself to You, You're going to reward me. And that's when life is going to begin for us. That's when life is going to begin. That's when glory is going to begin. And that is certainly a step of faith. Because if I don't believe God's word that I'm dead, my life is hid with Christ, then I'll hold on to life. I'll hold on to it. I don't know. I still want to get things out of life that I want. I still have desires. I still don't want to do those things over there because they're dangerous, they're fearful. I'm not going to go that direction. I'm going to hold on to life. And a lot of people are. They're holding on to life. Jesus said, to lose your life in this world, you shall gain your life in the world to come. And that's really where life is. Life is in the world to come. You know, it is kind of frustrating to live our life here in this world. It's a despicable place. It's getting more wicked by the day. And who likes living in this world? You know, by faith, we ought to say, let's just surrender our lives in this world. I don't want to live this life. There's nothing here for me. I want to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus because I want to live with Him when He comes. I want to have rewards. I want to have eternal life. I want to live real life. I won't have this body anymore, this corrupt, vile body that Paul talked about that he's going to change. That's when I'm really going to live. I'll really live then. But again, that's an act of faith. It's a step of faith. Here's what Paul said in the book of Philippians. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Our conversation is in heaven. What's that mean? We're up there. Set your affections on things above. We're up there. We're in Christ, seated in heavenly places. Our conversation is up there. It's not down here. You know, the Lord, I mean, I'm just trying to share His heart. The Lord would love to have some vessels down here that He could fill them. Amen. some vessels that he could fill, many vessels. You know, we talk about the church being dead. One of the reasons why the church is dead is because many of us are still living our life in this world. We're doing our thing and we're Christianizing it. We're putting some Christianity in there, sprinkling it with Christianity. But how many of us are truly dead and have surrendered it all to the Lord Jesus and say, Spirit of God, take control of me? You know, when the Lord comes, he's going to judge us and reward us, and we're going to be brought before him, I guarantee you this. And he's going to say, let's put this to the fire. 1 Corinthians talks about it, judgment. And everything that is motivated by the Spirit of God that you've done in your life is going to be gold and silver and precious stones. But that which has been generated by your own self-interest, and there's a lot of that today, amen? I do what I do to fit into the group. I do what I do to be a men pleaser. I do what I do because everybody else is doing it. I do what I do to get praise of men. Many people serve God and do what they do for all the wrong reasons. Instead of being generated and motivated. Paul said this, it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Those are the gold, silver, and precious stones. Amen. Oh, for a church of people who really by faith say, I am dead. I'm dead. What would happen today if you died? I mean, you literally died. Everything would be over, right? You'd have no more dreams, no more desires in this world. You wouldn't be married anymore. You would not have the children anymore. Everything, your business would be gone. If you died, you'd lose it all. Well, just accept the fact that the Lord says you are dead. Let's act like it. Amen. Let's act like it. You are dead. Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. Ye are dead. Reckon it so. Give your young people, give your 30, 40, 50, 60 years of life. Just say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. It's yours. You can have it. Be an exciting life, I'll tell you. Be an exciting life. Hand it over. I'm dead. I'm a child of God. My life is hid with Christ in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, and my life here is surrendered and given over to your purposes. You do with me whatever you want. I believe that's why the early church had such an abandonment, and they were so filled with the Holy Ghost, and nothing caused them to be fearful. I believe they understood that baptism meant, I'm dead now. I'm dead. And this life that's being raised up is going to be given to him for his honor and for his glory. So the book of Colossians says, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What's that mean? Our desires ought not to be for the things here, but we ought to seek the things that are above. What's above? Reward. A place in his kingdom. Eternal things. Amen. Seek those things which are above. I think of a number of passages in the Bible that talk about rewards. How about this one? Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad for what? Great is your reward in heaven. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you are dead. Oh, would to God. This is my axe to grind tonight. Would to God that the men here, and I don't know where you all are, but would to God that the men in many of the churches would take their energies and passions and affections and heart, instead of building temporal kingdoms and making money and building and the pursuing of things of this life, would turn that energy and talent towards the kingdom of God. Amen. Boy, we'd shake the world, wouldn't we? I see so many of these men who can build businesses. And here's something amazing. They can take young men like this and they can train them to be roofers. They can train them to be put siding on. They can train them to build houses. But when you ask them to train them to be soul winners, they're paralyzed. You know why that is? It's because their affections are not set on things above. They're on the things of this earth. We have the talent. We have the ability. You know, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. When God gives gifts, sometimes people use those gifts for carnal things. Abilities, leadership. Instead of leading a church, we'll take that leadership ability and we'll lead a crew. Yeah, sometimes people take their gifts and pervert them. So you're hid in Christ. I just want you to know this tonight. If you're a child of God, you're dead. When God looks down upon you, you're dead. You died the day you were converted. That's why you got baptized and you went down underneath the water, because the Lord says, see, you're dead. They're going to bring you up out of the water, and now I want to come and live in your body. By the way, when Jesus, who's our example, what happened when he got baptized? John the Baptist took him down into the water, said, you're dead, brought him up, and lo and behold, a dove came down and settled upon him. You know what that means? That's what God wants to do. Your dead life now given to the Holy Spirit. It's all yours. And that's how Jesus lived. It's all yours. And would to God that we could more and more believe that by faith. And day to day, live that out. So you died with Christ. You were buried with him. You're raised with him. And you're seated with him in heavenly places right now. And he has come down to your body and said, thank you. Now let me take control of it. And I'll do some amazing things with your body. Romans chapter 12 says to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable for what the Lord has done that you would say, my life is over. I'm dead. It's all yours from here on out. I think we ought to get in the habit of just constantly reminding ourselves, I'm dead. I'm dead. Lord, whatever you want, may the Spirit of God control me and use me for your purposes. Paul said it this way, Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. There is coming a day when there's going to be a glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you know, it's the heart of the Lord Jesus to give you rewards. To in that day to reward you. You know, a father's desire for his son is to be rewarded and to be blessed. And it's the Lord's desire for you to be blessed and rewarded. And he is, the grace of God is frustrated when he cannot use you and use your body to do great things and to reward you. Reward you. I know we want to be rewarded in that day, don't we? And so by faith, brothers and sisters, this will change your life. By faith, say, Lord, I believe I'm dead. You said you are dead. I believe I am. I'm dead. Not only that, Lord, you said my life is hid up there with Christ. I believe that. You also said, Lord, that my life is going to be manifest in glory when you come. I'll look forward to that day. But in the meantime, I give you my body. Take it. I surrender my body to you. My mind, my heart, do with it as you will. Nothing can change a person's life than any faster outside of salvation and understanding that very thing right there. Amen. That you are dead and your life is already hid. And that you just need to say, Lord, take it. It's yours. I'm going to get out of the way. And someday when the Lord comes back, you'll be a happy man. You'll be a happy man. But it takes faith to believe that. You know, if you don't believe that, I'm going to hold on to my life. I'm going to hold on to my dreams and plans and maybe hope that I get into the kingdom. You know, I don't believe these people who talk about just give me a little cabin on the backside of glory. I don't think they're going to be happy with it when it comes. The Bible says that we want to have an abundant entrance into His everlasting kingdom. An abundant one. Some people won't have an abundant entrance. You know, I believe there will be people who are converted, who should have died, but never died, never understood those things perhaps, and lived life and pursued their own things. And yes, they had the Spirit of God in them, but they quenched the Spirit of God and grieved the Spirit of God, and they were fruitless. Fruitless. And the Bible says that many will get in, yet so as by fire. I don't want you to be that. I don't want to be that myself. And so more and more, I don't care what situation you're in. Wives, if you're in a situation that's difficult, your family situation, your husband, your relationship, just remember you're dead. You're dead. You know, the Spirit of God can fill your heart and give you a beautiful testimony in the midst of a bad situation. Amen? Amen. Just let Him take over. It'd be amazing what can happen. Young people, maybe you're in a situation where your parents, you're having struggles. Maybe your parents are wayward. Just give yourself over to the Spirit of God. Let Him take control. You don't have to stay in this situation and handle it yourself. Paul said it this way, and I'll close. I am crucified with Christ. Right there. Nevertheless, I live. You see me. Nevertheless, it's not me, but Christ is living in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I look to Him for everything. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I'm looking forward to the day when He comes because He's going to reward me for giving my body. It's kind of like a rental, you know? You have to pay for rentals where I'm from down there in Ohio. And if you rent a piece of equipment, you have to pay for it. Lord, rent me. Take control of this. He's going to pay you well when He comes. For the use of your body, for the use of your heart, and the use of your mind. God bless each one of you. And I trust that more and more you can believe that you are dead. And live as if your life is hid with Christ in God. There's a glorious day coming. We're all going to rejoice. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when you get up there, you're going to be rewarded for all those things that you did that were generated and motivated by the Spirit of God. So let's yield ourselves to Him, a living sacrifice. And God bless you as a congregation. And I enjoyed being here with you. And my wife and I, Lord willing, will head south tomorrow. Have 2 days of travel. Get back into the saddle and keep working there at our congregation. And any of you that are traveling down through Ohio, give me a buzz and stop in and see us. Brother Henry came in a little while ago, got to spend some time with his family. We'd more than love to have you. Get into Ohio. We're right in the center of Ohio, just north of Columbus. You can get our number from Brother Henry and stop in and see us. Let's close this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do pray that we could truly understand, Lord, and have eyes to see all that You want to do through us here in this life. And Lord, may the Word of God find a place in some hearts here tonight that people would truly recognize that they are dead and that they are raised and that their life is going to come with Jesus and that they need to give their life at this time to the Lord Jesus for His use. Lord, give us grace. Open our eyes, help us to see, and live this out for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.